greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 1, Hebrews 7, from verse 1. Amen. The found can say amen.
Amen.
A greeting in this manner, if it is found. For this Melchizedek,
King of Salem,
priest of the Most High God,
who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings,
and blessed him,
to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all.
First being by interpretation king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem.
And after that also king of Salem.
Which is king of peace.
Which is king of peace.
Without a father.
Without father.
Without a mother.
Without mother.
Without descent.
Having neither beginning of days,
nor end of life,
but make like unto the Son of God.
I want you to catch that one. He was not the Son of God, made like unto the Son of God. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Abideth a priest continually. Amen. Now, just go on. Another one right there. Just carry on. Now, consider how great this man was. Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. As we bow our heads, gracious Heavenly Father, we are much thankful this evening for your grace and goodness, dear God. As believers, we are just coming to partake from the holy table, dear God. We know, dear God, in this world, the only thing that sustains us is the word of God. And that is why we want to submit ourselves at this point in time under the Holy Spirit so that you can come and mold us and shape us in any manner that you see fit. We appreciate you. We love you, dear God, as we commit the reading of the word to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you richly. Amen. Until it is the birthday of Brother Joseph. Happy birthday, Brother Joseph. Amen. Amen. May you see many more years and let them be dedicated to the Almighty God. Amen. Now, I just want us to speak on this evening meeting Melchizedek. Amen. Meeting Melchizedek. Hallelujah. I think in life we meet many people, but the greatest meeting that you would ever have, it is a meeting with Melchizedek. Hallelujah. I thought you would say amen to that. How many have met Melchizedek in the building? Amen. Meeting Melchizedek. That's what I want to speak on this morning. But we know the prophet spoke about who is this Melchizedek, because you cannot meet somebody that you don't know who that person is. And one of the mysteries that was resolved in the end time, or that was made known to the bride, it is the mystery of who is this Melchizedek. Amen. Not who was, not who will be, but who is this Melchizedek. Are we together? Now, Scofield, a renowned Bible historian, came and said Melchizedek was a priesthood. Brother Branham says if it was a priesthood, that means it would have the beginning and the end. But the Bible says this was a man. Amen. A man that had no beginning of days, no ending of days. Man that was without descendants. Amen. Now, and I think the greatest, one of the pinnacle, the high point of this ministry, it is when we met Melchizedek. Amen. And we'll get into this thing so that you understand. Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in this message, Melchizedek, the great prince and king, 160, it's a paragraph that I'm reading from. He says, if he had no father, he had no mother. He had no beginning of days or ending of life. Melchizedek still exists. Amen. Hallelujah. Melchizedek still exists today. Is that right?
Amen.
Branham Tabernacle say amen. I don't know what Lighthouse Tabernacle is saying. Amen. But he said, is that right? Then they said amen to that. He says, no end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. I said, he is not the Son of God. Brother Bram says, we are not Catholics. There is no such thing as eternal sonship. He says, sonship has beginning and sonship has an end. Are we together? Now, Brother Bram continues, says, now, this Melchizedek, he was not the Son of God. For if he was the Son, he had a beginning. And this man had no beginning. For if he was a son, he had to have both father and mother. This man had neither father nor mother, but he was made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And it says, Dr. Scofield tries to say that it was a priesthood called the Melchizedek priesthood. But I just want to take you on that a few minutes. If it was a priesthood, then it had to have a beginning and it had to have an end. But this had no beginning, had any end. And he did not say he met priesthood. He met a man. He met a man and called his name Melchizedek. He was a person, not a denomination, not a priesthood or fatherhood. He was absolutely a man by the name Melchizedek, who was the king of Jerusalem, not a priesthood, but a king without mother, without father. Priesthoods don't have a father. This man was without father, without mother, without beginning of days. Now, the Son of God, who was this? This was Jehovah. This was the Almighty God himself. It could not be any other.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It could not be any other. And actually, I'm going to read somewhere, Brother Branham says, he was not the Son of God, but he was the Father of the Son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you get it? He says he was like one unto the Son of God. And if you remember when Nebuchadnezzar threw the Hebrew children into the fire, when he came to look and saw the fourth man, he says he was like one unto the Son of God. Are you still with me? Then we are going to take you through those things. So
Before I speak about the need to meet Melchizedek, I've got to say, who is this Melchizedek? Amen. Now, Brother Branham says in the Hebrews, paragraph 155, he says, what you need is to meet this Melchizedek one time. Folks, not to meet a pastor, not to meet a church group, not to meet any great man, but what you need is to meet this Melchizedek one time. And let him bless you and give you the wine and the bread and eternal life. Then you will see things differently. It will be different. Are we together? Meeting Melchizedek, it makes you see things differently. Can I get an amen on that one? How many have ever met Melchizedek and they saw things differently? But remember, not everybody meets Melchizedek. Abraham met Melchizedek, but there were conditions that Abraham had to meet before he met Melchizedek. Firstly, he came to meet Melchizedek when he was coming from the slaughter of the kings. After the battle had raged and he overcame in the battle, then he met Melchizedek. Meeting Melchizedek requires overcomers. Yes, only overcomers meet Melchizedek. There is a battle before the meeting of Melchizedek. But once you meet Melchizedek, then he gives you wine and bread. Brother Bram says he gives you a part of himself. Are you still with me? But go and check. Abraham, the reason Abraham met Melchizedek, he demonstrated a divine love. A brother had been lost, and Abraham took his soldiers, and they went to the uttermost to bring the brother back into the fold. So those that meet Melchizedek must have divine love. Are you still with me? And divine love makes you to have a feeling for your brother or your sister. And divine love makes you to love God. And it makes you to overcome. And in the end time, the people that need to meet Melchizedek, or those that will meet Melchizedek, are the people that overcome their flesh. If you are still ruled by the flesh, you can never meet Melchizedek. I'll repeat that. If you are still ruled by fleshy desires, you can never meet Melchizedek. Amen. Melchizedek, it is for the overcomers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are the overcomers in the building. Amen. Who, and he continues in the message, who is this Melchizedek? Now, as we said on Sunday, we spoke about the condescending of the mercy seat, and we say we need to trace the locality of the mercy seat today. And now, if we say Melchizedek still exists today, somebody has got to show you where is Melchizedek, how to meet Melchizedek, and how to know that you have met Melchizedek. Are you still with me? Can I say every Abrahamic seed must meet Melchizedek? How do you know that you are going to be a future resident in the new city is when you meet Melchizedek. Because why? Abraham met the one, he says, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Brother Branham comes in the midst of the future home. He says, at the very spot where Abraham met Melchizedek, it is where the new city will erupt. Hallelujah. You can never go to meet you can never go and stay in the new city until you meet the designer of the city first. I hope you are still with me. Now, in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, we see this figure from time to time in the scriptures. Firstly, we see a man coming to the household of Abraham. Or he met Melchizedek when he was returning from the slaughter of the kings. Are we together? Later we see Melchizedek in the household of Abraham. They were sitting and he came to inquire and said, according to the time of life, Sarah their wife shall have a son. He came to announce a pregnancy. Are you still with me? But later this Melchizedek left. And the same one that Abraham met when he returned from the slaughter of the kings, the same one that came to the household of Abraham, Then we see Jacob met exactly the same one, and he wrestled with him the whole night. And he says, I will never leave you until you bless me. And Brother Brim says, that was the angel of the Lord. And Brother Brim takes it further and says, the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. Are you still together? And when Jacob met Melchizedek, his walk changed. He never walked the same as he used to walk. There was a particular walk that he walked in. You can never meet Melchizedek and walk exactly the same way. You change, Brother Brim say, it will make you different. It will make your thoughts different. It will make your habits different. It will change your nature. That is why today you don't need to meet a church. You've got to meet Melchizedek. Amen. Hallelujah. Now he says in the message, paragraph 68, who's this Melchizedek? He says, now the difference between him and you as a son. See, he was at the beginning the Word. Remember, as we spoke about the condescending of the message, see, even God condescended. Brother Bram says he was a fountain of life. And he was a rainbow. Are we together? And he says, out of that rainbow, then God began to amorph himself. And he says he came into the form from the great spirit. He moved to a theophany. And from a theophany, then he became the pillar of fire. And from a pillar of fire, he became a man. Are you still with me? Let's stay here with me. When he was the great fountain of life, as an eternal spirit, he had attributes. He had thoughts. And Brother Branham said, do you know that you were once an attribute in the mind of God? Hallelujah. And at the other time I showed, when he was the great fountain of life, the Samaritan woman was an attribute. Hallelujah. When he became the Logos, the Samaritan woman was a theophany. When he became flesh, the Samaritan woman became flesh. But in her fleshly realm, she had amnesia. She never remembered that she was an attribute. She never remembered that she was a theophany. But when she had a personal encounter, because Brother Bram says, who the Melchizedek that was in the Old Testament later became Jesus Christ. So when the Samaritan woman met Melchizedek, then she remembered who she was before the foundation of the world. But before the encounter, she was a prostitute. Hallelujah. Before your encounter with Melchizedek, you were a prostitute. You were a drunkard. You were a sinner. But that personal encounter made you to realize that in your time, you are an attribute of God made flesh. And the people in the end time that shall never be defeated are those that were the attributes in the mind of God. Hallelujah. And if you are in his mind, you will meet him in the end time. And if you are in his mind, you will live for him here. Brother Bram say, you are what you are here because you represent what you were when you were there. If you are a believer there, you will be a believer here. Are you still here together? And the beauty about our message is not to pick up a man from a beer hall. Our message is not to pick up a man from a brothel. Our message is to go back at the back part of the mind of God and find your original place. And when you are found there, you shall be found here. And if you are never found there, you shall never be found here. The message is not yet to make you a child of God. The message is here as a paternity test to test who are the children of God. And I'm glad I passed the paternity test. And you can say, I'm glad I passed the paternity. Because why? What makes you to pass the paternity test? To believe the revealed weight in your time. Not only to believe, but to live the revealed weight of your time. Are you still with me? Now he says, now, the difference between him and you as a son. See, he was at the beginning the weight and M of body. He came and lived in that, the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Are we together? Amen. Now, Brother Moses says in the midst of the battle, the communion, paragraph 86, he says after the battle was over, after the victory was won, after the pledge had been made, Melchizedek met Abraham on the plains and brought the bread and wine and served it to him. Are we together? Remember, folks, the greater the reward, the greater the challenge. Are you still with me? The believers in the yesteryears, they did not face what we are facing today. We've got a mammoth task before us. And remember, every church age, how it closed, it says, for him that overcometh. Yes. So that means God is looking for overcomers in every age. Yes. Overcomers against what? There is always a dominant spirit in an age that a believer must overcome in that age. And I can tell you, a spirit that is dominant in an age can only be defeated by the message that is released for that particular age. Yes. Are you still with me? I cannot go and fight the devil today with Paul's message. I cannot go and fight the devil today with Irenaeus' message. I've got to find the message of my time. And the message of my time is all those messages. It's a culmination of all those messages. That means Paul had it in part. Irenaeus had it in part. All of them had it in part. But you are living during the time of the fullness of the way. Brother Bram said the reason he had to do the mediatorial work throughout the seven church ages, it was because of the ignorance of the saints. Martin Luther preached a mighty sermon, but after the service, he took out a pipe and smoked the pipe. And the lamp had to remain there to do the mediatorial work. Hallelujah. But in your time, the lamp left the mercy seat. Why? Because the full redemption was done. The fullness of the weight was now in the heart of the believer. You are not ignorant because you are not living during a time of partial realization. And I want to say to today, there is no excuse not to live for God. All the power that is required has been released. All the revelation that is required has been released. And it actually got in the end time. He came down himself to make sure that a believer can never be defeated. Are you still with me? Now he says in the message, the Hebrews, paragraph 108, he says, why? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the prophet saying that. Something on the inside of me met Melchizedek one day. Do you get him? This flesh cannot meet Melchizedek. Something in your flesh must meet Melchizedek. That's what Abraham said. Something on the inside. What is on the inside? The soul is on the inside. That means if Melchizedek is without the beginning of days, he requires something that is without the beginning of days to meet him. If Melchizedek has got no end of days, he requires something that is without the end of days to meet him. That means there must be something in you that must be quickened. Are you still with me? And he says, he spoke peace to me and gave me eternal life. He continues, he says, then what difference does it make here? Whether we have anything or whether we don't, whether we are young, whether we are old, what difference does it make? The main thing, are you ready to meet him? Do you love him? Can you serve him? Have you sold out to the things of the world? Have you met Melchizedek since the battle was over? And this is my question tonight. Have you met Melchizedek since the battle was over? Your battle in this instance. It says, bless God. About 21 years old, I was, and one day, I had a battle with this, that, and the other. I couldn't make out whether I wanted to be a fighter or whether I wanted to be a trapper or a hunter. What I wanted. But I met Melchizedek and he gave me communion. Since then, it's settled forever. Amen. Why are the people toast about in the end time? Going by every wind of doctrine, they are not settled. Why are they not settled? They have not yet met Melchizedek. When you meet Melchizedek, it brings an eternal settlement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our age, or the people in our age, the reason it has become a neuretic age, it's because they are living in a constant mode of looking for something better. And it turns out that the very thing that they found that they thought is better, it turns out to be a mirage. And now they are searching for another thing. It turns out to be a mirage. And at some point in time, they get discouraged, they get despondent. But I want to tell you, ever since you can meet, if you can meet this Melchizedek, you are no longer going to chase after anything. It brings an eternal settlement. What made Eve to look for a new thing? She was not settled. Anytime when you see people falling for a wrong doctrine, they are not settled. But I'm here to tell the church, we are not looking for a new thing. We are not looking for a new preacher. We are not looking for a new church. We are looking to meet Melchizedek. Because once you meet Melchizedek, he gives your communion a part of himself. Amen. He says, hallelujah. I went on his side. I have been rejoicing on the road. When it comes to the end of the road and death stares me in the face, and the way I feel now, I will never dread it. I will walk and want to walk into the face of it. Meeting Melchizedek makes you not to be scared of death. Hallelujah. Meeting Melchizedek takes the effect of the fear of death upon your life. Because why? You know that you know him in the power of his resurrection. You know that if you go down into the grave, you are coming one of the mornings. Hallelujah. The grave is not at the end of you. Why? Because you know, as much as Melchizedek had no beginning of days, you, the inside of you, there is a part that has got no beginning of days. Amen. He says, I will walk and want to walk into the face of it, knowing this, that I know him who made the promise. That's right. That I know him in the power of his resurrection. When he calls from among the dead, I will come from among the dead. Are we together? I said the other thing. What needs to make you meet Melchizedek? You've got to have a burden for your fellow brother. That's what Abraham did. He went to the uttermost when he was returning. Then he met Melchizedek. Brother Branham speaks in the message, the adoption, paragraph 144. He says, I went after a brother not long ago, had went astray. A young fellow said to me now, said, let that rascal alone, let him alone. I said, if I ever get to a place that my heart doesn't go with my brother, then it's time for me to come to the altar.
Amen.
Because I have fallen from grace. I said, I will go as long as he's got breath in his body. I will catch him somewhere along the line. And I caught him, hallelujah, brought him back into the fold. He's back in the fold safely now. Hallelujah. Why? Brother Bremi shows the nature of the man that has met Melchizedek. Are we together? Now, let's put it this way, because Brother Moon says he later became the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find Nathanael and Philip were brothers. And as they were brothers, one day Philip met him. And after he met him, there is something special about meeting him. It changes you. It changes your perspective about the things. And when something changed, Philip remembered that, but I've got a brother, Nathanael. We have been looking for the Messiah. And remember how many prophecies, over 400 prophecies, that had to be fulfilled in one man. Are you still? 400 prophecies. And later one day, Philip, after he had met him, he went to look for Nathanael. And when he found Nathanael, Nathanael was busy in the study because they were looking for the Messiah. And now Philip comes with this breaking news. He says, we have found him. Hallelujah. What a statement. What a certainty. Not we're looking for him. Not we are testing whether it's him. We have found him. And Nathanael was skeptical and said, where did you find him? He said, then he says, is there anything good that can come out of Nazareth? And he says, brother, I am not here to debate with quotations. I'm not here to debate with the scripture. I'm inviting you to his service and come and meet him. Come and see what I've experienced. Amen. Hallelujah. Once you meet Melchizedek, you are not afraid to testify about him. You know the effect of meeting him. And you know that if somebody is suffering, you can say, come and meet the one that I have met. Amen. Hallelujah. I can imagine Nathanael must have come, been coming there, being skeptical with shoulders stooped down. But Philip was, his soul was now having a revival. Hallelujah. And as they were coming there, you remember that eye of the Messiah. He looked at Nathanael. Hallelujah. And saying, Nathanael, hallelujah, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. That statement had such an effect on the heart of Nathanael until he knew that, no. People know me, but not the way this man knows me. And he says, Rabbi, from being skeptical to say, Rabbi, the presence had such an effect upon Nathanael that he had to acknowledge that this is the one. Amen. Says, before Philip called you, I saw you under the tree. Hallelujah. Melchizedek knows where we come from. Are we together? The Samaritan woman, when she met Melchizedek, Brother Branham, the Bible says he had to go by the way of Samaria. Hallelujah. And actually, if I update what I'm talking about, you are not meeting Melchizedek. Melchizedek is meeting you. You are not looking for Melchizedek. Melchizedek is looking for you. Hallelujah. We did not find him. He found us. And the Samaritan woman was there. It was late in the evening and she had gone there alone. And as she was there, then there came Jesus. And he looked at the Samaritan woman and said, give me water to drink. Hallelujah. Brother said there was a segregation during that time. The Samaritan woman looked at this man that resembled a Jew and said, it is not customary that we Samaritans can have such conversations with the Jews. Amen. Brother Bram says, he was locating her spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not her flesh. Her flesh was a prostitute. But in the spirit realm, she was a daughter of God. Are you not glad that when you met him, he never located your flesh? Because there is nothing good in your flesh. But he located your spirit. Because your spirit has got its original profile in God's economy. Had he focused on the flesh, he would have never had a long conversation with her. And said, and I can imagine, I mean, being a prostitute, it's a very degrading profession. I think the Samaritan woman, she must have spoken to other people, and she must have felt as she spoke to them that they are looking down on her. She must have sensed that whenever they spoke to her, there was an element of finding her despicable. But when Jesus looked at her, we are now singing Amazing Grace, he looked at me through the eyes of love. And he knew that other men that looked at her, it was not through the eye of love. It was through the eye of lust. But this was not a filial love. This was the agape love. And when she came under the atmosphere of that agape love and say, despite what I've done, despite how horrible my life is, but this man, the way he's speaking to me, there is something that connects with me in the inside of myself with this man. And it says, if you only knew the gift of God and the one that is asking you for water, you would be the one that asking me for water. He says, but you've got no pitcher to fetch the water with. Are you greater than our father Jacob? Then Jesus says, looks at her and says, if I give you the water that I have, you will never be thirsty anymore. Yes. Meeting Melchizedek makes you not to be thirsty anymore. It brings eternal settlement. Are you still with me? Now she became very intrigued and said, shall I have the water? And he turned around and says, no, but you need to go and get your husband. And she said, I have none. And says, thou speakest the truth, because even the one that you stay with is not your husband. You have had five and you're staying with the sixth one. And she began to look and say, because right there, it was the messianic sign. Are you with me? A messianic sign is not when somebody says your name is Salumi and you come from Iznambi. It means nothing. The devil knows where I woke up from. The devil knew the people that I met today. But only God's eye can look into the future and tell you exactly what is going to happen in the future. Or it can go before you were born and tell you exactly where you were. Are you still together? A sangoma can tell you what you are, where you come from. It should never, those things should never excite us. We are fighting with the enemy that knows us, knows our parents, knows our nationalities, knows our makeup, knows everything. But there is one thing that he does not know. It is a part inside of us that is connected to Melchizedek. Are you still with me? Now, right there, the woman says, we know that when the Messiah cometh, it's quite amazing how a predestinated seed in a fallen state with just an ounce of knowledge, just knowing one statement that when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things. I'm not going to church. I don't know what they teach at church. They chase me away at church. I cannot fellowship with a woman in the city because I'm a despicable woman. But I know one thing. When the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things. Amen. Telling you all things means he brings eternal settlement. Because when you know all things, you are no longer running to and fro. You are settled. Amen. And right there, he says, we know that when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things. And Jesus right there with that tone, he says, I am he. Right there, the veil that was there on the Samaritan woman was ripped apart. And she realized the God of Abraham is now here. The same Melchizedek has now become flesh. And she dropped the pitcher and went into the city and said, come and see a man. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? She had met Melchizedek and she had conviction. She never cared what you're going to say about her, whether you knew what she did last night. All she knew, today is a different day. Why? Because I knew Melchizedek and I turned a new chapter. I realized I'm no longer a prostitute. I'm a daughter of God. Meeting Melchizedek erases your history. Meeting Melchizedek brings you into a total forgiveness where even God himself does not remember anymore. That's why you've got to meet Melchizedek. Not church people, not a pastor, but Melchizedek. Are you still with me? Say, come and see a man. Are you still with me? And here is my question. Have you met Melchizedek? Have you had a divine encounter with a being that had no beginning of day? Because Brother Bram says he still exists today. And if he exists and he says you need to meet Melchizedek, meeting him makes you to have peace because he is the King of Peace. Once you meet him, I think we're talking with brothers. The danger put today, people are in the red race. You want to be better than the Jones. And when the Jones are better than you, you have become a nervous wreck. But meeting Melchizedek, it brings settlement, yes, sir, in the spirit. Yes, sir. And I'm tempted even here to prescribe or to give you a prescription. Meeting Melchizedek is an antidote for depression in the end times. Yes, Brother Moses says we are in a neurotic age. There's got to be a remedy for this neurotic age. And I say the remedy is to meet Melchizedek. And when you meet him, you become like Philip. You see, the world is living in a time where everything is like, it's a trial and error project. You try this and find out that it's not working. Then you try that and you find that it's not working. In the message, this is not a trial and error project. We can boldly and without shame and without any hesitation, we can scream like Philip when he screamed to Nathaniel and tell the world, we have found him. Are you here, people? Who have we found? The same one that created the universe. The same one that became a body of flesh. The same one that Abraham met. The same one that all the great prophet of God have met. The same one that walked with the disciples in the end time. We can make a declaration. We have found him. I don't know whether you're together here. We did not find a message. It's not a message church. It's not an institution. The message is himself in a revealed form in the end time. Once you find him, you can scream and say, I have found him. And like Nathaniel, you can begin to go and look for the people that you know have got an appetite to move with him. Folks, the danger today in the message is because we've got the greatest thing, but we're wishy-washy in how we handle it. Are you still with me? I would imagine if you were to meet Mr. Nikki Oppenheimer, he is a diamond dealer. He knows real diamond. Hallelujah. And if you were to meet him, and you want to challenge him about the quality of his diamond, he's not going to be sheepish and say, they told me that it's a diamond. He will tell you, that, don't play with me. I've mined a diamond for many years. I know a diamond when it is before me. And I want to tell you one thing. We have been to a church, to another church, to another church. We have been through that religion and that religion. We know the real thing when we have met it. And I said this message, under the banner of the message, we can say we have found him. Are you here? But finding him and meeting him has got to bring a change. Do you see, once they found him, it brought a sense of agency. When Philip found him, he didn't just say, it's not a big deal, I will meet the brother after a month. No, immediately he said, no. There is somebody, and it moved by a channel. Peter had to find Philip. Philip had to find Nathaniel because there was a divine channel that they were connected with. And I'm glad I say in the end time, there was another divine channel that I was connected with. The message bypassed a lot of people, but it came my way. Because why? I'm part of the vision. I'm part of the vision. Write it down, even though the vision may tarry. But at the right time, it shall speak for itself. And I'm saying today, the vision has been fulfilled. Here we are in the end time. We are telling the world, we have found him. In what form? Today, Brother Brennan says, in the message, spiritual food in due season. He says, if he comes in this form, I will not accept him. He says, if he comes in this form, with blood oozing out of his body, he says, I will not accept him. Why? At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father. The Father in me. The Father in me. Hallelujah. When they moved out of Egypt, it was I in the Father. And when he was here in this body, it was the Father in him. But now, it is another season. It is another dispensation. It's not I in the Father. It's not the Father in me. It is I in you. And now I can ask a question. If all that God had, he poured it into Christ. And all that Christ had, he poured it into the church. I can ask today, who is this Melchizedek? I know what I'm talking about. Brother, let me say, if he comes in this form, I will accept him. But if he takes the form of my brother and my sister, I will accept him. If you hate your brother, you hate Melchizedek. If you love your brother, you love Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Why? Because here they are. He is him. The church is himself in the end time. Are you still with me? We are him. And I want to say, when you, if something has worked for you, and you've got a personal testimony that it has worked for you, and you go somewhere, and you find people criticizing it, if you know that it has worked for you, you won't join in. You can actually try to convince them. If they are not convinced, you can turn around and say, maybe it was not meant for you. Maybe it was meant for me. Can I give an example? If you found a new diet program, sisters will relate, and it works for you, and you do it and everything changes, works for you. Later you go and share with other people that this is working, and somebody says, no, it doesn't work. And you ask them, why do you mean that it doesn't work? So, no, I read on the internet, on Google, it says it's not working. If it has worked for you, you will not adopt a Google view about it, because you've got the results of what you are talking about. But when you are still trying it out, you are bound to be disoriented by that protest that it's not working. It can disorient you. But if it has worked for you, you can say, look, it has worked for me. And if they say, but me, it has not worked for me, you can say, but we are different. Me, it has worked for me. I'm saying this message has worked for me. I don't know about the world. I don't know about you. It has worked for me. I don't care what garbage is on the internet. It has worked for me. Are you still with me? And if somebody does not work for them, it's not going to disorientate me. Because I've taken the message, I've seen the effects of the message, I've seen the results of the message, and nothing can change me about that. And furthermore, there is nothing that can change me about this prophet. Nobody can change us about this prophet. Rebecca did not know how Isaac looked like. Rebecca never met Isaac. Didn't even know where Isaac stayed. All she depended was a report of Eliezer to tell her that I come from my master's house. His name is Abraham. He's got a son, and the son is Isaac, and I'm looking for a wife for Isaac. And based on the message of Eliezer, Rebecca could imagine how Isaac looked like. If you met Rebecca and asked her, how does Isaac look like? She would have never told you. She would say, according to Eliezer, this is how tall he is. Are we together? But she had never met Isaac. It is only when she was on the camels, being led by Eliezer, and began to see a man in the field, and ask Eliezer, who is that man? And right there, Eliezer said, that's Isaac. So, all along, she depended only on Eliezer. Are you still with me? Yes. Esther did not know what the king wanted. She only relied on what her guy told her and said, this is the perfume that you must use. This is the oil that you must use. She used that for 12 months. The first 6 months, it was oil, which symbolized the Holy Ghost. The next 6 months, it was the incense, which was represented her prayers. And when she went into the presence of the king, and there were other maidens, the king said, this one will take the place of Vashti.
What made her to have the secret in the palace is because she had a messenger that was connected to the palace. And in the end time, I don't care how many churches are there, there is only one church that will meet the requirement. They must have an inside information. And I'm saying Brother Branham was here to give us the inside information. That he likes this, he doesn't like that, he likes that. That's why we will do everything that this messenger says we must do.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
Even Isaac did not see the wife. He as well relied on what Eliezer was going to bring. The only thing that he had to make sure that Eliezer does not err is to send an angel that accompanied Eliezer. And in the end time, Brother Branham says, the angel of the Lord is not 6 feet from where I'm standing. What was that angel doing? His main ministry, it was not to tell people their diseases and their names. That, it was just to raise the faith of the people. But in the third pool, that same angel that knew that Sister so-and-so was from such and such place, in the third pool, the same angel was going at the back part of the mind of God and said, this sister was in the mind of God. This brother was in the mind of God. How did the message come your way? The predestinated pool pulled it towards your way. It bypassed certain people, but you had to receive it because you've got to find an inside information.
Amen.
How many have ever gone to an interview where you don't know where they will ask you, and for some reason you met somebody that knew what the company was like, and they shared the information with you? Doesn't that increase your confidence when you go to the interview? Some of you, it made even you clever. You begin to ask them certain things until they say, you know too much. Why? Because you had inside information. And the message is the inside information of what is happening in the palace and what is required by the palace. If you meet this Melchizedek, you are a rapture material. If you meet this Melchizedek, you are a resident of the city that is to come. And by so doing, everyone from the pastor to the deacons to the laity, everyone must meet Melchizedek. To meet Melchizedek is life. God bless you, Richard.
Let me use this one.
Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is your name.
Your name.
You are
Mighty is Jehovah is your name.
Just want to thank you tonight, Heavenly Lord Jesus, for your vessel, Lord, that you have used, oh Lord Jesus Christ. He managed to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit speak unto us, Lord. We just want to thank you that you have heard from you, Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, knowing, dear God, you are the God, Lord Jesus Christ, that always change offices, Heavenly Father. You are the chief dramatist, Almighty God. We know, Heavenly Father, at first you as Jehovah Elohim, that it became the Logos, oh Father, and it later became Jesus, Almighty God. But now you are in the bride, Lord Jesus Christ. We just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that, dear God, we are such a privileged people, Almighty God, to be called the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially, Heavenly Father, this closing days of time where we are seeing, Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of confusion, Almighty God, from different denominations, Lord Jesus Christ. But you called us yours, Heavenly Father. We just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for such an amazing love, Almighty God. Heavenly Father, again, we just want to thank you, Almighty God, knowing, Lord Jesus Christ, the same way Abraham, Heavenly Father, made Melchizedek, Almighty God, you also made us, Heavenly Father, through this message of Malachi for Heaven, Lord Jesus Christ. We remember, Heavenly Father, when this message came to the prophet, Almighty God, he was not very sure, Almighty God, until Heavenly Father, he had to go, Heavenly Father, to the wilderness and make sure, Almighty Father, he told his wife that I'm not so sure whether I'm going to return, Almighty God. But you know, Heavenly Father, as he was waiting from you, Lord, you came down, oh Father, you sent the 200 pounds man, Lord, to tell him of his ministry, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are here believing, Almighty God, that you are a God, Lord Jesus Christ, that when we ask, you are able to speak back unto us, oh Father, as you did even to Moses, Lord, when he made the pillar of fire, the burning bush, he was speaking to you and he spoke back, Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, Almighty God, even among your children, Lord Jesus Christ, something deep down their souls, oh Father God, is telling them, oh Father, that they can speak to you and can speak back to them, Almighty God, because they are the predestinated children of God. Father, now as we depart from here, Lord, may you bless us and go with us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Then give us a song till we meet on Sunday, 9 o'clock. God bless you richly.
Imo ni Jesu kia muzi Imo ni Jesu kia muzi ma Jesu.